So, just to get us started, would you mind introducing yourself?
Hi, I'm Catherine Schneider. I'm a retired clinical psychologist. I worked the second half of my career at UW-Eau Claire, and then I retired in 2004. And since then, I've written 4 books, and I'm a disability activist in a lot of different areas. I've started awards for children's books with disability content, journalism with disability content. I'm a blogger and recently joined the county board.
All right. Excellent. So I take it you live in Eau Claire?
I do.
How would you say COVID-19 has affected Eau Claire from what you've noticed?
Less people out on the streets. Lots of buildings closed.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants only doing takeout, and the little ones, I worry whether they'll open back up ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's a common theme no matter where you go in the state. Which I've been concerned about local businesses too with everything going on, but hopefully things will start recovering soon. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? And since then, how have your thoughts changed?
At first, I thought mostly about, okay, am I at heightened risk?
Mm-hmm.
But as time's gone on, I've realized, gee, this is not all about me.
Sure.
And I began thinking more about public health and who's being affected,
mm-hmm.
how are they being made aware of what's going on, how does this affect different parts of the disability community.
Mm-hmm.
And which of my friends are going to be more likely to be affected by it, and what can I do to be of assistance? Because so far I'm free and clear and mm-hmm. able to help.
Okay. So, I guess piggybacking off of that, what issues have concerned you the most about the COVID-19 pandemic?
Some of the disability issues. The first one that hit me was the county board went to online meetings, and mm-hmm. they use a platform called WebEx, which right on its front page says it doesn't play well with screen readers.
Hmm.
I'm blind and use a screen reader. And so at first I thought, oh gee, maybe they should use a different platform. Well, they didn't think they should use a different platform. So it was how can I make this work? And they do have a dial-in number for the WebEx conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the dial-in and then email my votes to the convener of the meeting, who then adds them into the votes, the online votes that the other people are doing. And I try to get them to send me the PowerPoints and stuff like that. ahead of time electronically so I can read them. I've become very aware of some people do a better job of explaining what they're putting up on the screen, and other people just say, well, as you can see, I won't bother to read this to you. Well, go ahead, bother to read it to me because I can't see it. But so it's, I've managed to get enough accessibility to be functional.
Okay.
Is it ideal? No, but okay. So that was all about me. The next issue I became aware of was the deaf community wanted the public health briefings to be sign language interpreted. Okay. And we've been fighting for about 9 weeks and have not accomplished that yet. They too have made a workaround where one of the local interpreters has a Facebook group that all the deaf people she knows join that Facebook group, and then she interprets onto the Facebook group, which is fine for the deaf people she knows, but the others don't get anything. So that one, haven't won it yet. Gotten a commitment that it's on the radar to be done, but it's not particularly a high priority, is what was stated. Now, if I was deaf, it would be quite a high priority to me to have access to current information.
Yeah.
So that's the other struggle that I was a small part of was Park Towers, which is a low-income disabled and elderly housing building on Farwell. They had a pop-up food pantry once a week from Feed My People. And when COVID hit, that pantry was closed because of people weren't keeping social distance to get into a community room and get your food before all the food's gone. People are not going to keep social distance. So it was closed, and that left people going out to Walmart or wherever all, which is quite a bit more exposure for them. Right. So when I found out about that, he got involved with reaching out to various levels of city government saying, this is wrong. And you and I both know it's wrong. Now do something. And they did. And it's back being the food is delivered to people's doors instead of having it in a community room. It's handed out individually. So that was a good workaround. But it took pushing people to kind of think outside the box about how we're going to get this done.
Okay.
Then another thing that I thought about was, okay, single people. If you're safer at home sheltering by yourself, and you're in the retired, quote, vulnerable age group or situation, you might need somebody to check on you every day, you know, just to see, because you wouldn't necessarily speak to anybody on a given day, and they wouldn't miss you if you fell sick. So I established a small group of friends of mine that were in that situation and were interested. And every day I either send them an email or a phone call, depending on which works better for them. And then if they don't answer that day, I would try one more time, and then I'd go over and do what it took to get in their house and intervene.
Okay.
Now, luckily, so far, everybody's answered, and it's all good, and it's just sort of a fun little, every morning I send out some goofy question or something, and they respond, and fine. But it's one of those neighbors helping neighbors kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good part of COVID that I've seen. I've had a lot of offers from people of, hey, if you need anything from the grocery, just let me know. A few of them, I've taken them up on their offer, but it's my way of being able to do that for other people, is doing a little bit of a check-in. And then there's a visually impaired support group, and I offered that if there was some single folks in that group that needed checking on, I would check on them and see if they were aware of all the resources that there are in the community. Or mm-hmm. So I did a little bit of resourcing for some of those people.
Okay.
And then I decided that I would offer to the Chippewa Valley Post, which is a little tiny online news outlet in the community, I would do a column for them, Corona Chronicle, from the sidelines of this whole thing, and try to put out some kind of mental health stuff, but not in a preachy kind of a way, but in a humorous,
mm-hmm.
down home kind of a way. So I do two or three posts every week for that.
Okay. So it sounds like you're a very community oriented person. So I'm curious.
Well, how I have the luxury of being retired, so sure. I can find my own projects and do what I want to do.
Of course, yeah. So I'm curious, how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about people kind of looking out for each other. Has that been a theme, or is that kind of an outlier in some of the communities that you're in?
I think that's a theme, a sort of a odd way that it's affected me, and it affects other blind people. The social distancing thing is hard to do when you're blind, because when you're blind, you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know that you're 6 feet from somebody?
Right.
Or less than 6 feet, or more than 6 feet. And right. The only way you know is if they make a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And northern Midwestern people are very polite and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And the most they might do is smile. And smiling with their face masks on.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't do sighted people much good either, but anyway. So you got, how am I going to get information from people? Now, what I ask people to do is, please say, hi, I'm passing on your right. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't know their right from their left, at least it gives me a high so I can kind of judge where they are. Or better yet, my pit bull that looks like it would like to eat your dog is with me, so that I know that my new seeing eye dog is responding to a pit bull that looks like it wants to eat me. Because a lot of times people with a misbehaving dog just try to scoot by real quick. And so the dog is the first thing I know that there is somebody around is I hear a snarl. And that kind of gets your attention. And I would so much prefer a, hi, Fifi and I are passing on your right kind of thing. So that's an odd wrinkle, mm-hmm. The social distance thing, as I think about when church opens back up. Not even sure I'm going to go. My faith is important to me, but trying to sit, I love sitting in the back row and yakking with the other people that sit in the back row, and doing that at a 6-foot distance is going to be hard to yak during mass. But also, when it comes time to go up to communion, I usually take somebody's elbow. Because sure, my dog can get me to the front of the church and then they can lead me straight out the back door too. Whereas if I've got somebody's elbow, I know when we're back to my seat. But with a 6-foot distance, mm-hmm. There's no approved way to take somebody's elbow at a 6-foot distance.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to even bother with that at the moment, because you can watch services on Facebook or whatever.
Right.
As I talk with other blind people, the social distance thing, I think Eau Claire is politer. A lot of people have been getting sort of snarled at by people if they invade their social distance. You're too close. Mm-hmm. Well, hello, you could have said something before I got too close. But I've not experienced that kind of snarly behavior, but other blind people in other places have talked about that. And then there's the problem of the delivery services, like I get my groceries from Woodman's, mm-hmm. and they have a delivery option that was working good. First time I ordered after COVID started, the next delivery was 10 days from now.
Okay.
That was available. Okay. So you order what you need and suck it up till then. And then it turns out, well, things that were available when you ordered them are not available. So you get about 85% of what you ordered. Now, the reason is that whole delivery thing was started for a small group of little old ladies like me who don't drive. And then all of a sudden, everybody else clambered on the bandwagon, so it was just overrun. But the good news is, I think because of COVID, there will be more delivery options available in the future, because I think people are liking them.
Yeah.
And probably will still like them even after COVID is calmed down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think so too.
Voting turned a little bit south for me. When I vote in my precinct, there's what they call the handicap voting machine, where you put on your phones and you have a little thing that looks like a remote, and then it reads you the screen, and then you mark your ballot by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was as of 2006. That was the law, that everybody deserved a private ballot. And it's a wonderful thing. But for early voting or voting by mail, obviously, you don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to vote early because I didn't want to deal with a long line of people standing 6 feet apart.
Right.
Waiting to vote. So I voted early. So I had to have a friend help me, and the staff down at the city hall were really pretty condescending. They wouldn't talk to me. They'd talk to my sighted friend and all this sort of stuff. And yeah, I can go down there and train them and get that to be a better option. But I just sort of plugged my nose and did it and thought, okay, well, at least I got voted.
Mm-hmm.
The big picture for people with disabilities is that we worry that we're going to be taken care of last in disasters. And I think that's to some degree true. Now, it hasn't happened to me like it did to the deaf people that still don't have an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're an afterthought. And it's disappointing. Back when the big hurricane hit New Orleans, some people with disabilities were actually killed because they weren't evacuated in time or whatever. And there was a big, oh, golly, we got to do better. And there were all sorts of committees and et cetera. But it doesn't seem like it's filtered down to the actual, how are we going to do this and that?
Mm-hmm.
My next crusade is with the church thing. I think in each community, they should have a drive-through communion for people that are vulnerable, because an awful lot of people who go to church, whether it's Protestant or Catholic, an awful lot of them are of the age and they have other conditions other than just being old that make them vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of the pillars of the church usually, but they really should not be at church, even if church is practicing social distancing and all. So they ought to get communion if they want. And I saw over in France, they were doing a drive-up communion thing. So I asked the priest at my parish, who asked the dean of the deanery, which is a head of the local group of priests, and maybe they'll think about it, is what I got so far. But to me, if we're really church, we'd be busy thinking about the least of these. So that's one of my next brooms to ride on.
Okay. So we have just about, I think, 10-ish minutes left. So I'll ask one more question.
Is it okay if it's going off script and not just going down your questions one by one by
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's completely fine.
Well, good.
That's totally fine. Yeah, yeah.
Because you can tell I used to lecture.
It's all good stuff. So, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
They need to have people from the disability community on the planning teams.
Mm-hmm.
Which is broadly why I ran for county board, because I had the feeling that disability issues are everywhere. And if people who experience them on a daily basis aren't at the table,
mm-hmm.
they're not things that other people think of. And that proved true even before COVID, but now I really feel like that there's a lot of things that could get better if people become aware of them and realize that, okay, we're coming up with the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we can feel good about the ramps, curb guts, et cetera, but there's so much more that we need to do, like information access needs to be worked on, and obviously emergency planning needs to be worked on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me for a bit. Yeah.
This will someday be in the archive at the university. Is that where it'll end up? Or?
Yeah, I believe so. It'll end up in the archives, yeah.
And what's your work product that you turn in?
Here, I'm going to stop the recording.